So I want to give you a prequel to my sermon, an introduction, if you will. This is not part of the sermon. I say that because I like to keep my sermons to a certain length. But I don't count the prequel. Okay. So if you noticed in our gospel text this morning, it talked about walls of hostility and how the walls of hostility were broken down through Christ Jesus and his death on the cross. And through Christ Jesus, we become one in God. Throughout the New Testament, in the words of Jesus and also the words of the apostles and disciples, you hear these phrases, no longer Jew, no longer Gentile, all one in Christ. They kept saying that over and over and over. That theme is in the New Testament many, many times. Here's why. Because in the Old Testament, the God of the Old Testament liked to be behind, apparently, walls. And we know this because in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, then they're thrown out. They were outside the wall. When God talked to Moses in the burning bush, he was in the burning bush. That was kind of a wall. When he gave Moses the Ten Commandments, Moses was up on a mountain. What is a mountain? A very high wall. And in the temple in Jerusalem, there was a curtain, thick, heavy curtain, that separated the Holy of Holies, where God lived, from everything else. In the Old Testament, God was always seen to be separated by a wall. And one of the issues with that was that for the Jewish people, they knew that their God was their God. Everybody else, you guys are on the other side of the wall. See ya. And it made the Jewish people a little less open to other people. But this changed. This changed because when Christ came into this world, all of a sudden the divinity was no longer on the other side of the wall. The divinity was inside, or if you will, within the perimeter. And the divinity was part of humanity. And the divinity was no longer something separate. And when Jesus died on the cross, think about what happened. The temple curtain tore in half. That was God saying to us that there is no longer a wall of separation between us. All people are part of God's family. All people have been invited in by the blood, the death, the resurrection of my son, Jesus. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about today. Okay, that was what I was going to talk about today. You see, I have a sermon ready, keying off everything I just said. And at 8 o'clock last night, the Holy Spirit popped into my office and turned the sermon upside down. I had to rip that sermon up. Because the sermon wanted me to give a different message, but still on this theme. Now, the name of my sermon is, In Christ Jesus, You Have Been Brought Near. You have been brought near. But I want to ask you a question first. Have you ever been so angry that you could... Is this ringing any bells? I am so angry, I could just... And you can fill in blanks on that one. Now, I mentioned that to you because on 4th of July, I stood here, preached about our country. Our flag was up front. We talked about being one nation, under God, indivisible. However, we do have some issues, and we have some things in our country we need to pray on because we are divided in so many ways. And after the sermon was over, one of the members of the church came up and said, you know, Pastor Tim, I think you missed something. You did not talk about how angry people are. And I didn't. And at 8 o'clock last night, the Holy Spirit said, talk about people that are angry. So here I am. You see, as I mentioned on July 4th, our culture and our media surround us with the noise of anger and grievance.
And that triggers chemicals in our brain, so we want more anger and grievance, anger and grievance. We have become a nation of consternation, surrounded by a crescendo of aggravation. But we are living, because of this, within walls. People talk about silos. We're living within walls, physical, mental, emotional, societal. And in these little enclaves, we get comfort, but we are separating ourselves from the other people around us and separating ourselves from the ideas of other people around us. 2,000 years after the birth of Jesus, we are starting to get back to that Old Testament thing. You know, you build a town, you put a wall around it, and this is mine. And we're doing that now with ideas, with thoughts, with theories, all this kind of stuff. So, what do we do? What can we do in the noise of consternation and aggravation that the media is putting onto us so we can connect with God? And because we can connect with God, then we understand that God truly wants us to connect with each other. Jesus came to break down the walls, and it's our job to continue that. John of the Cross, which is a great name, which I thought about. He was a 15th century theologian in Spain, and he said this beautiful thing. Silence is God's first language. Silence. And it got me to thinking, in our noisy, distracted, social media obsessed, stirring up divisions world, we forget how transforming silence can be. We forget how refreshing silence can be. And we especially then forget the command in Romans chapter 2, chapter 12, verse 2, to renew our minds. Listen, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We renew our minds when we hear the word of God, when we enter into relationship with Christ. We renew, we become new and whole and fresh and reborn. So dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning. Let the words of my mouth renew in this your beloved community thoughts about being quiet and still. Thoughts about putting themselves in your hands, in your care, so they may hear your words in their lives. Amen. So, I quoted Professor Ellen Davis earlier. I want to quote her again. Whenever we pick up the Bible, read it and put it down, and we say, yeah, that's just what I thought. Well, we're probably in trouble. We're probably misinterpreting it in the way we want it to be interpreted. Professor Davis goes on to say, Scripture is like a musical score that must be played or sung in order to be understood. And I found Professor Davis this week as I was preparing my sermon, but I also then found a reference to her in Professor Carmen Acevedo's work, and she talked about this. This is really fascinating. Medieval Christians had a way of connecting with God, a way of being in touch with God, a way of being reminded of a spiritual practice that would bring them closer to God. We have a picture of that spiritual practice here this morning. Seriously, the medieval Christians used cud-chewing ruminants, or as we would say, cows, to symbolize the spiritual practice of scriptural rumination. honest to goodness. That's by my daughter, by the way. Quite like it. You see, in Latin, the word ruminare means to chew food over again and again and again. And when we ruminate in our minds, we are chewing something over again and again and again. And if we can turn to cows, seriously, we can deepen our understanding of God's word by applying a practice, which I'm going to introduce you to this morning, of scripture rumination. Cows are astonishing. Cows can take over 800 bites of grass an hour. Now you may wonder, how do they chew it? They don't. Cows just shovel it in their mouths as fast as possible. They're not concerned about chewing it. They just want to put it in their body. I was going to say their stomach, but you know the cows have four stomachs, right? They don't. Cows have one stomach, but they have three other things, which are called four stomachs, or fake stomachs, or just stuff. And the first thing it goes into is something called a rumen. It's a giant 25-gallon vat inside the cow. Think about that one. And that vat has no acid, does not have any acid, but it has enzymes and bacteria that break down the grass and the hay that the cows eat. And then once it gets broken down, the cow brings it back up as a little ball called a cud, chews it again, sends it back down. Then they bring it back up, chew it again, and bring it back down. So the first container that it goes into, which is called the four stomach, is not a stomach, it's called the rumen. And that's where things start to get broken down. It's a fermentation vat. It's like they're making beer. I'm just trying to relate. But it's not beer. It's turning the hay and the grass into sugars that the cow's body can use for energy. All right. And then all this goop, once it's been chewed up, goes into the second four stomach called the reticulum. Okay, that's what you got to see. I did not give you graphic demonstrations because it's kind of graphic. Okay. The reticulum, where it gets regurgitated again, goes up, comes down. If they happen to eat anything like nails or anything, the reticulum filters those out. Goes into the third four stomach called the omasum, and the omasum is fascinating. The omasum is not that big, but it has many, many hundreds, thousands of folds. It folds back onto itself. It holds gallons and gallons of liquid. People have compared it to the leaves in a Bible, pages of a Bible. In other words, the omasum in the cow has so many thin folds back and forth, back and forth, that people have looked at it and said, you know, this reminds me of the thin pages in a Bible. And it has all those thin pages for surface area, so all of those liquids can be filtered and processed and filtered and processed. And you thought cows had no connection with the Bible, right? And then finally, it goes into the one stomach that the cows actually have called the true stomach, and this is the obamasum. And there you get the hydrochloric acid that we have in our stomachs that break everything down. So, what does this have to do? Cows will spend 6 to 8 hours a day chewing on their cud. Early followers of Jesus would spend 6 to 8 hours a day chewing on the Word of God, chewing on the Word of God in fellowship with others, having meals, teaching, preaching, and constantly chewing on that Word of God. We've kind of lost this idea about chewing on the Word of God. Martin Luther said that sometimes you have to squeeze the scripture until the message comes out. It's an idea we've forgotten. Martin Luther also said when you read the Bible, say it not only in your heart, but read it out loud. And keep pushing at it and kneading it and pushing it and kneading it. And squeezing it until the message comes out. So scriptural rumination. Our being like cows with God's word, not grass, can help us become less angry, less consternation, less agitation. This is how we can break down those walls, the mental, the physical, the emotional, and the societal walls that separate us. So let's look at scriptural illumination. Several weeks ago, I talked about qualities of Jesus that we could put on. And the qualities of Jesus, I said, we might want to try on were gentleness, compassion, humility, kindness, patience, forgiveness, and love. So let's take this scriptural illumination and look at gentleness. Because if we are putting on aspects of Christ, we are literally working towards breaking down walls, because that's what his life was all about. So we'll go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, sounds simple. But wait a minute. What if you chew on those words? Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Swallow them down. Bring them back 20 minutes, 30 minutes later. Swallow them down again. Let them come up when you're interacting with someone. Swallow them down. Maybe when you're driving and the air conditioning hasn't kicked in yet. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. So how can your gentleness tear down walls? Well, when you're chewing on this concept, you ask yourself, am I gentle? Am I gentle with myself? Are my actions gentle with people that I don't like? What would my life be like if I had more gentleness in it? And if you're chewing on these words and savoring them, and over, you're bringing them into your mind, you're repeating them, you're looking at them, you're writing them on a piece of paper, you're whispering them to yourself, then you will start getting answers. Scripture is like a musical score that must be played or sung. The Word of God is something that we need to bring into ourselves, squeeze it until we get the nutrition out. And we can use Scripture even as a prayer. The scripture that we're looking at in Philippians, verse 45. Excuse me. Okay. Chapter 4, verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. As you're chewing on that and thinking about that, what about using it as a prayer? Dear God, please let me get to the point where my gentleness is known to everyone. Show me how my gentleness can be known to everyone. Lift me up so my gentleness can be known to everyone. So if we take this verse, read this verse, whisper this verse, say this verse out loud, tell this verse to our friends, think about it, chew on it, pray on it, then we are digesting it. And by doing these things, we are giving ourselves a break from the noise of aggravation and consternation. We are turning off the noise and we are embracing stillness. We are embracing silence. We are connecting with the fact that silence is God's first language. And you don't have to take the words of John of the Cross. If we go to Psalm 46, verse 10. And this psalm is so meaningful, this verse, that one of the members of our church have this written on the wall of their house. Be still and know that I am God. A cow who's spending 6 to 8 hours a day chewing their cud has a lot of opportunities to think in their own way. Be still and know that I am God. And if we could take on this practice of scripture rumination, then we too are giving ourselves the gift of being able to take time to understand in the stillness that God is always with us, that Jesus came to break down the barriers between us, and that if we can turn off the noise, we can bring in God. So truly, as my sermon title said, in Christ Jesus, we have been brought near to live as one people. But unless we can hear the voices of the other people, unless our hearts can be open to them, it doesn't work. So I ask you to consider, especially now as you're driving around and cows are in the fields, chew on these words over and over again. Savor them in your mind and heart. And let us use this as one way that we can break down the walls of hostility and bring all people, one nation, one people, one God, in God's household. Amen.